Hello, friends. Welcome. As always, I'm so excited to have you joining me today. My guest is my friend, Taylor Wolf. She has been on the podcast once before, but I'm thrilled to have her back so we can discuss her brand new book, Birdie and Harlow, which is a story about life and loss and loving your dog so much you don't want kids until you do. You might follow Taylor online at The Daily Tay. She is a comedian. She's hilarious. And I cannot wait to share this conversation with you. So let's dive in. I'm Sharon McMahon, and here's where it gets interesting. Oh, I am really excited to have my friend Taylor Wolf back on the show. Yay, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be back on the show. My voice just went so much higher, showing my excitement. Yay.
If you are not currently following Taylor Wolf on Instagram, first of all, you should be. Her Instagram channel, The Daily Tay, is hilarious. She is well known for her impressions of influencers and her impressions of somebody you might see at a party or like a relative. They make me laugh all of the time. You naturally have a gift for comedy.
Thank you. I enjoy doing it. Keeps me entertained because I don't socialize with real people, just the people in my head. So I'm very social in my head.
I have a lot of thoughts and ideas I want to express, but not to you in real life. Only online.
Just on my phone.
I very much relate to that. I read your new book and it was so good. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. I'm very excited to talk with you about it because not many people have read it. So
I know. I'm special. I got an advanced copy of Birdie and Harlow, which is a memoir, a very, very funny memoir. I love the subtitle, which is Life, Loss, and Loving My Dog So Much I Didn't Want Kids Until I Did.
Until I did. That's right.
And now you have two of them.
Yes. Birdie and Goldie.
I would love to know, how did the seed of this book get planted in your mind where you're like, you know what? I really need to write this story of Birdie and Harlow. I need to write this memoir. How did you conceive of this project?
So it began as essays about motherhood. It kind of started from, I used to do this character called Mom Troll, where it was based on real messages I got on Instagram, a lot to do with breastfeeding. People have a lot of opinions about breastfeeding, my breasts, everybody's breasts. I would get some nasty messages, and the way that I dealt with them was by turning into a character, obviously, and just kind of belittling these mean things people would send. So my agent was like, you should write a funny collection of essays on motherhood, on these like messages you get, things like that. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And then about 2 months into writing this, Harlow died and the grief consumed me. And I was like, I cannot write anything else except for I need to get through this grief. So I spoke with my agent and I was like, I'm getting nowhere on these funny mom essays. And I'm like, I'm writing about my boy, Harlow. I'm like, because that's how I work through things. And so I was like, I don't know if this is going to be the book, but I have to write this right now in order to like breathe, in order to move on. Because grief is just so consuming. And it was my first experience with a big loss. And I thought like the grief would go away. And once you experience grief, you know, it doesn't go away. So anyway, I'm not going to pitch you every time something terrible happens in my life. But right now I was wondering, can I write instead about motherhood and also loss? And so then that's how the idea kind of came about. And then as I was writing it, I learned that Harlow led me to motherhood. Even though we discussed, Harlow did not call me mom, but you mother your dogs. And so he led me to realize I did want to be a mom because I had heard people love their kids as much as their dogs. And even though I was skeptical, I was like, there's no way it could get any better. But I'm like, maybe we should try. Maybe we should see if it's true. So that's kind of how the idea was born for it.
This is an idea that requires further investigation. Is it possible to love a child as much as I love Harlow?
I didn't think it was true, but it is. I learned it is true. And so much so that we had another kid and another dog. Now we have two kids, two dogs.
What are your dogs' names now?
So we adopted Gunny, full name Gunnard. That was his name he came to us with. He's 10. And then we got Vinny. His full name is Vincent Carlito. Vinny. If anyone out there is pregnant and thinking about getting a puppy, I do not recommend it. If you are very emotionally unstable, I extra don't recommend it. But there's a whole reason we got Vinny. That's revealed more in the book.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the words of Dwight Schrute, identity theft is not a joke, Jim. But seriously, if you've ever had somebody try to steal your credit card number and then try to make a bunch of fraudulent charges, that has happened to me on more than one occasion. If it's happened to you, you know it's a nightmare. Having your personal information on the internet is like giving strangers the key to your front door. Not good. And Delete Me can keep that door locked and your information safe. And I recently found a solution that is a service called Delete Me. Delete Me finds and removes any personal information that you don't want online, and they make sure that it stays off. It is a subscription service that finds your personal info on the web, searches all the databases, and then helps prevent identity theft by removing that information from all of these databases. So when you sign up, you tell Delete Me exactly what information you want deleted, and then their experts take it from there. They send you a report every month of like, we found your information in the following places and we removed it. More simply, Delete Me does all the hard work of wiping you and your family's personal info off the web. So take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/Sharon and use promo code Sharon at checkout. The only way to get the 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/Sharon and use code Sharon at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Sharon, promo code Sharon. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all have stress in our life. Absolutely. It's unavoidable. It's just part of the human experience. But some of us have more than others, and some of us handle it better than others. Some of us really keep it bottled up, and it can start to affect us negatively. I would imagine at some point in your life, you can relate to this, right? And therapy is a safe space to be able to get some of these things off your chest. And that is why so many people find benefit in speaking to a qualified professional. If you're thinking about starting therapy for something like managing your stress, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Sharon today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Sharon. One of the things that I loved about this book is, first of all, as I mentioned, comedy is your thing. You naturally are very funny, and you found a way to write about topics that can sometimes be really challenging, heavy, emotional. Motherhood is emotional for most people, you know, and sometimes those highs are very, very high, and sometimes the lows are very, very low. But often it doesn't feel funny, or it feels wrong to think something is funny. It feels wrong to laugh at something that is challenging. And I have often thought that using humor to cope with difficulty is an extremely useful tool.
I think so too.
And that people who insist on being serious all of the time are actually not doing themselves any favors. Now, I'm not saying laugh at people's misfortune. I'm not saying like kick someone when they're down and tell them they look ugly when they're covered in mud. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying laughing at yourself, laughing at your own situation. How has using humor helped you cope with the difficulties of adjusting to motherhood and the difficulties of losing your beloved friend?
Oh, that's like, comedy is my crutch. That's how some of my best characters are born. Like I said, mom troll. I think relying on my stand-up background has helped me a lot. What I think of as one of my most meaningful stand-up sets, I performed it the night before I had a DNC surgery I didn't know I was about to have, which is kind of ironic to me thinking back. But the entire set was about my miscarriage and the stupid things people say when you have a miscarriage and just how people act. And they're so common, unfortunately. So like, in talking about it, so many people have said, I miscarried and I didn't talk about it, or I didn't know how to feel about it. I'm more comfortable talking about these harder topics through comedy. And it's transferred into even like now with a toddler who goes without saying, we love our children, but toddlers are hard. Oh my gosh. So even like bringing up the highs and lows of how can I like miss these days with my toddler, even though I'm like, oh my gosh, this morning was brutal. Just getting to this show felt like it took hours and tantrums, but still she's gone. I'm like, oh, I miss her. It's like, that doesn't make sense. But for some reason, knowing it doesn't make sense to anyone else and we're all in this boat, it's comforting.
Tell me more about your comedy background, because I'm so curious. How did you get into stand-up? How did you even get into doing all of these sort of like sketches with all of these different characters? How did that happen? It requires, first of all, a lot of courage to get up on a stage and do stand-up. So much courage. How did you get started doing that?
So when you live in Chicago, it's such a comedy hub. I lived there for like a year and thought about taking Second City classes for an entire year. But then I was like, I don't know if I can afford it. Like I had all these reasons not to do it. Cause like you said, it's very scary to get on stage and put yourself out there. But I like to thank Wine for pushing me into that. Cause I remember it so distinctly, sitting at my little desk in my room, pulling out my credit card after a few drinks. And I was like, I'm signing up. We'll just see. I'll go to one class. And then one class led to me doing like their entire like program for 2 years. And then you meet like-minded people. And so then I started to meet people who were like, yeah, I do stand-up. And I was so intrigued by stand-up. I didn't know anyone who really did it. You know, I would watch like specials and like to meet someone who actually like in person did stand-up. So my first stand-up night was at the Second City again on like a Saturday night in a brightly lit classroom, like 6 p.m., a terrible stand-up situation, but that's where everybody starts. And the first time I did it, I completely blacked out. It was the weirdest feeling of like floating away, but your voice was still like going and talking. And then I sat down next to Chris and he's like, people laughed. And I was like, I blacked out, but also I want that feeling again. And it was just so crazy. So I pursued it for a few years in Chicago, but the stand-up world is you grind super hard. I know that's like the truth for a lot of things, but it's late night world. And that's just, I'm a Taurus. I'm so sleepy. So I was like, I can't be a late nighter. So I didn't pursue it too much longer after a few years, even though I really loved it. I was like, I miss my couch. And so that's when I was like, I wonder if I could do stand-up-ish from home. And this is like right around when Instagram stories came out. I am the age of someone who was on Instagram before stories. I don't know if anybody else remembers that era.
Oh yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah, they just came out one night. And I was like, what are these? And so I started kind of doing videos on my own terms. And now it's come full circle in that with my book tour, I'm hoping to do a little stand-up with it as well because I miss the stage. But the difference is I'm setting the time. It will not be 10 p.m. It will be 6:30, maybe 7 if I'm feeling crazy. Like the sun will still be in the sky-ish.
Yeah, I totally can relate to that. That first of all, I'm not going to do stand-up. I don't have that skill set. But secondly, even if I was going to, there's no way I could live that life. I'm toast by 9 p.m. There's just no chance that I could be like, my set starts at 11:45.
I hosted an open mic that started at 10 on a Monday night. And that's just not me, but I tried. I really tried, bless my heart. But oh my God, I'm just not a late nighter.
It just is not, I could never do it. I totally can relate to that. But I love that you found a vehicle for your work, which is, again, so funny. You found a vehicle that perhaps reaches more people than your stand-up.
I mean, it definitely does. Because a lot of times these open mics, when you're starting, there's 20 other people in the room. They're all comics. Their faces are all in their notebooks reading their jokes. Nobody really cares. And then I was like, but at home, I can reach hundreds of thousands of people on my couch. I'm going to choose home.
It also seems to be true that people who are comedians or people who have a natural bent towards comedy, that people expect to be able to walk up to them and demand that they be funny. Have you ever experienced this where you get on a podcast or somebody meets you in person and they expect every word out of your mouth to be a hilarious joke? And when you are like a normal person and you're just talking in a normal tone of voice, have you ever experienced that? And do you find that people are then like disappointed that you're not walking down the street wearing a wig in character?
Oh my gosh. That's why I don't leave my house.
You don't wear wigs to the coffee shop?
No. Oh my gosh. It was worse, I feel like, when I did stand up, because people would be like, oh, so you're a stand up? You're listening to us then. You're getting jokes from us. Like, don't come around us. We're tons of material for you, or stuff like that. I'm like, I'm not always okay. Like, sure. Yeah. You know, so they do act differently. Not everybody. Or they go into show mode. I don't know if you've experienced that, where I can tell someone's like putting on a comic show and I'm like, you don't have to do that. We're just here hanging. Yeah. You don't have to So it's either they want you to be a show pony or they're going to be one. And it's just so uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's almost like a kid coming up to you and like poking you and be like, tell me a joke. And that's just not how it works.
Yeah. Adults do that too. Or I've had people be like, can you just do like a quick 5-minute thing here? Usually that's my mom when she has people over. She's like, will you just do stand up for 5 minutes? And I'm like, no, I won't, mom. Like, thank you for asking. And I know she's my biggest fan, but it's like, I'm not just going to be like, hey guys, what's the deal with house parties? Like,
right. But this book, on the other hand, does allow you to just be funny on demand. See how that worked? Now you have opportunity to be funny on demand because people can just read it and find it funny and also heartwarming and touching. It's a tricky balance to maintain in a book. How did you decide how much of this is supposed to be funny and how much of this is supposed to be like real life or like a heartwarming story? You figure that out.
I didn't necessarily like go in with a formula. Perhaps I should have, but that's just kind of me, I suppose. You know, I'm a little bit funny, a little bit heartwarming, like mix of everything. I will say the harder chapters were easier to write. Like, I've had my blog for 10 years or like 14. When something, like I said in the beginning, when something is hard for me, I get through it through writing. And so as soon as Harlow died, I just started writing immediately because I'm like, I cannot keep this in. And that, I feel like, really flows. I almost don't know how to feel about something until I've written it out. And then, you know, you trim it back a little bit. So I'm not going too all in, but I could have written about my grief forever, but nobody wants to read that. So many chapters about me being sad about my dog dying. But I also, for instance, my birth story was a little bit of grief, but not really. And that's where I feel like I really got to be, let some of my humor out, because what's going on with childbirth? Like, what's going on with that? I think every woman held out on me. Like, some people talk about it, but no one is really telling me the real truth here. So I did not go in prepared.
You did not go in prepared?
No, I did not.
Did you think it was going to be the movie 9 months? Or like, what were you picturing?
I thought it would be a combination of every rom-com I've seen about birth, where I was like, I'm not going to have her right away, but maybe an hour or two in. I said to Chris, I was like, gosh, I just hope I'm not here like for a full day. And then it was five.
5 days.
And I was already a week past my due date. They gave me everything possible to induce labor. Got the full buffet of things, fully booked, Pitocin, like, I don't even know all the things. By the end, I was like, yeah, try it. And nothing worked. So they did a C-section then, which I was like, why did we not just do that from the start? Let's just do that. So I did the C-section with my second, with Goldie. And again, I was not prepared, because people told me, they're like, your second C-section. Someone actually said, it's a piece of cake. And I'm like, ma'am, what cake are you eating? Because that was not a piece of cake.
It was not delicious.
It was not.
You are a liar.
It was not a walk in the park. I've never had cake or park walks that felt like my body was being, you know, ripped apart. Like, no, I shouldn't. It wasn't ripped apart, but it was harder than my first C-section, which I was led to believe it wouldn't be. I was just like more awake for it. And I was like, oh, I do not like that feeling. Like, you guys are breaking my ribs. Okay, I can talk about this forever because I look at people differently now. I'm like, how did you get here?
We hear from a lot of interesting people on this podcast, and I know that I am always hungry for more. And what if you could learn from the world's best all in one place? Guess what? You can. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 of the world's best instructors. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, your computer, your smart TV, even in audio mode. You can listen to it like a podcast. I know that when I watch Doris Kearns Goodwin, that first of all, I'm going to be getting fantastic information, that the production level is going to be incredible, and then I'm going to walk away feeling smarter and more informed than I was before. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/Sharon. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/Sharon. Masterclass.com/Sharon. If there is a product that I always make sure to reorder when I am running low on, it is Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike other deodorant, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver literally outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your armpits to your feet. And let me tell you, especially heading into summer when we are all going without socks more and more and more, and you end up with that like pile of stinky shoes by the back door, everybody comes in and kicks them off. That's not the vibe. That's not the move. I don't want to smell that when I walk in the door. Do you have any like preteen or teenage people that live with you like I do? Lumi solves this problem. It comes in a tube. This is my favorite way to use it, is in a tube. And you squeeze them out just like you would a lotion. And then you can just put it in the places where it's needed. It was originally created by an OBGYN. And now her game-changing whole body deodorant has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love feeling confident from head to toe. It is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. It is baking soda free. It does not irritate your skin. It is paraben free. It is pH balanced so that it is safe to use in all the places. And it comes in a variety of scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, toasted coconut. And the starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, that is my favorite, and two free products of your choice like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. And as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. So use code SHARON for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code SHARON at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. I've been doing my own nails at home for actual years now because of Olive and June. Before I found Olive and June, I did not do them at home, and I'm never going back to getting them done in the salon again. Olive and June has everything you need for a salon quality manicure in one box, plus the resources to learn how to do it well. Their poppy tool makes such a difference in being able to paint your dominant hand with your non-dominant hand. You can customize this mani system with your choice of six polishes, and the polish doesn't chip and lasts for 7 days or more. It ends up being like $2 a manicure, and you can do it while you're sitting at home watching Netflix. or waiting for the cookies in the oven. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to make an appointment and go sit somewhere to get it done. Once you learn how to do it and once you practice, it is so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home. They also have a quick dry formula now that dries in about a minute. I especially use it right before I go on a trip somewhere where I want to get them done right before I leave, and I want them to look good while I am on my vacation or at my speaking engagement. You can visit oliveandjune.com/Sharon for 20% off your first Manny system. That's oliveandjune.com/Sharon for 20% off your first Manny system. I would love for you to tell people, what was it that changed your mind about having children? Because in the subtitle of your book, I didn't want kids until I did. What was it that made that shift in your mind?
This is a big question. I will say, I used to Google, why do people have kids? Why do people like kids? What's the good thing about kids? Google doesn't give you a lot of answers for that one. You know, so I was like, what's going on here? Because I would just see a lot of tantrums in public, and Har and I would look at each other and be like, oh my gosh, like, no, thank you. I also mentioned a lot in there, I never got baby fever. I think some women do get that. I know they do, but I didn't. So not everybody gets that. I'd like to make that point known, because I kept being like, okay, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm just going to wake up and be like, babies, but I never did. And I'm still not totally like babies. I like my own babies, and I do like babies more than I used to, which is a good thing, you know, being a mom and having to be around other babies. But the switch, which I write about this in my book, it happened in Hawaii, which the Mai Tais played a part. Usually I'm like drinking and looking for dogs, you know, like, I want to pet that dog. There were no dogs on the beach. Instead, what I saw was like a really intimate moment with this sweet couple and their little baby. Chris saw it too. It was so weird how it just hit both of us. And maybe this restaurant is set up to make people want to have kids, so we keep coming back. They get more customers. Anyway, it's Mama's Fish House. Ironic, that's the name.
I've been there.
Did it make you want to have kids?
No, I already had a bunch by the time I went there. But it is a really, really unique and special restaurant.
It is. And they're breeding customers. So anyway, it was just like a moment where this kid wasn't being a monster. And the parents were so engrossed with their little daughter. And then they walked like out on the beach. They had the coveted spot in the restaurant, which makes me think now they were planted. But anyway, the way that they interacted with her, and they loved being with her so much. And for some reason, Chris and I could not look away. We weren't creepy. This is hard to tell out loud because it sounds like we were being very stalkerish and creepy. But then eventually, after they were done, Chris is like, you were kind of staring at those people quite a bit. And I was like, you were too. And something about that, we're like, that didn't look so bad. It wasn't just that one moment, obviously. You know, there were a lot of moments leading up to that where I felt like we got a behind-the-scenes glance at more of the tender sides of parenthood. You don't often see that, because when kids are out in public, they can be kind of a nightmare. And if you don't have kids, that's all you witness, you know? So it's like, why is anyone doing that? Oh, it's super hard. And it is super hard, but there's those tender moments that people that don't have children don't often get to see. And they're very hard to put into words, because I've tried. I think about it every single day. Like, man, kids are so hard, but yeah, we could have another. The pros outweigh the cons. For me, I'm not trying to convince anyone to have children. I want to make that clear as well. There's a lot of people on this earth. We are not telling anybody to go out and have kids. But also, the biggest part was probably how much joy Chris and I got from Harlow. Like, my heart still flutters thinking about the camping trips we'd take him on, where he would like run up ahead and look at us with this big smile. And we got so much secondhand joy from Har. We're like, do you think a kid could give us this? And again, that's where we were skeptical, like, no way. But what if a kid could, or even more? So it's just like getting to experience like that joy through something else. And then it makes like your heart feel all full and happy.
I hear what you're saying. It is difficult to describe the secondhand joy that you get from your children, from your pets, etc. You can't really quantify what that is like, what it's like to watch your kids have so much fun at a birthday party or Christmas, or what it's like to see how much they love it when their pet dog gives them kisses on the face. You know, like the secondhand joy that you get from watching your children or your dogs enjoy something. It's a different kind of feeling that you get from just, oh, I'm having ice cream. It's so delicious. Enjoying it yourself. It's hard to put into words. Like it's, people can be like, oh, you'll enjoy it. It's so wonderful. You're going to love it. But until you experience it, you can't really understand.
It's difficult. It really is to put into words because I try so hard. I try to do my best to do it. And I'm always analyzing it. Like, why is this so great? Like she's just riding a scooter, but it looks so like, look at her ride that scooter. Like I like watching her ride a scooter more than I like riding a scooter. Which
yes, makes exactly.
Sense, you know,
me watching you enjoy this thing is way more fun than me enjoying it on myself. And I agree with you. That's not to say that everyone needs to have kids. This is not a condemnation of people who are like, you're going to regret it if you don't. I don't think that. I think not having children is a perfectly legitimate choice. And that research shows that single childless women in their 40s are the happiest demographic. So there's no shame or shade to people who choose not to have children. That should absolutely not be the takeaway.
I feel like I touch on that in my book a lot. And it was important to me because people would say to me, like, I know you love your dog, but you just don't know true love until you have a child. And it's like, really? No. You don't get to tell me how I know true love. Like, that's great if that's your situation. Although I feel a little bad for your dog, but you don't have the right to tell anybody else how to love or how we feel love.
Who do you think this book is for? Who do you hope will pick it up and that this book will reach?
Well, I only think about this every single second of my days right now. It's all I think about. And I like to imagine you picking it up in the airport. And I'm like, who is this person reading it? There's a lot of different people I know this book will appeal to. First and foremost, if you have a pet that you love deeply, this book is for you. A lot of times people would ask me, do you ever worry you're too over the top with the way you talk and treat and act with Harlow on Instagram? And I would say, no, I don't worry, because that was us. I am an introvert. I don't make friends easily. I'm not good at it. I get tongue-tied when I talk. I get anxious, but not in front of dogs. They're just the best. So my relationship with Har was, I'm realizing now, like, I mean, I knew it then, it was special, but we had a very real, he was my best friend. So for anyone who has a dog or any type of pet, whatever it is that you are just so intertwined with your life, like I was with Har more than any person, this book's for you. And then if you have lost that pet and you're like, how do I go on? Or I mean that it's just really hard to move forward without your best pet friend when a lot of people don't tend to understand it, because you kind of feel like you can't talk about that grief because there feels like there's an expiration date for animal grief.
Get another dog.
Get a funeral.
Just get another dog and then you'll start being sad about the previous dog.
I thought you were really telling me that. I was like, well, Sharon, that didn't work for me.
No, that seems to be the attitude of a lot of people, that you need to like spend 8 weeks being like so sad and then get a new dog and the grief will be gone.
Yeah. And then they're like, are you going to get another puppy? And it's like, I don't want another puppy. I want Harlow. Like Har wasn't just a dog. He was my Harlow and we were together so much. And so I think if you are looking for a book to help you feel less weird, if you have a very intense relationship with your pet, or if you're going through some grief, I talk a lot about that and the hierarchy of grief. You know, pets just aren't at the top. And so you feel like you have to keep that grief in. So there's one part. It's not all sad though, I swear. If you are like, hey, I don't know if I want to be a parent. Like, where is my baby fever? I work through a lot of those things too. So I'm taking on some heavier topics, but in a lighthearted way. If you've gone through pregnancy loss, and that in itself was, that's such a hard thing to go through for so many reasons. For me personally, it was because we didn't know if we wanted to have kids. And then when we lost our first, I felt like I didn't deserve to grieve like those who did know. Because I was so uncertain of this pregnancy, and then I lost it and it just crushed me. And I would spend so much time in my head being like, you don't deserve to feel like this. Like, there's women who have been trying for years. They deserve to grieve more than you. So there's a lot of touching on the like grief part of who deserves it, when it's like, you can't compare grief. We all have our own that we carry, and the only grief we know is our own. So there's no sense in comparing it, whether it's, you know, you missing your dog, or you wondering why you're grieving pregnancy loss when you weren't even sure. And, you know, other people have tried longer, and just so many things we think about. There's me talking about doing stand-up in Chicago, and also like these meaningless jobs I had in my 20s where I was constantly thinking, is this life? Like, I just have to be in this cubicle forever.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love, and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, marketers, want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
I love all of the little sidebars that you have in here that made me laugh, like things I often wonder about cave women and motherhood. I have had all of these thoughts. How did they do it? Like, I know how, but also how? I've had that exact thought many times. How did they maintain a 67 to 72 degree temperature in a cave nursery? There's just so many things to wonder about. I love the rundown of your jobs where you're like, I'm a recruiter for a culinary school. Highs, I set my own schedule and learned killer knife skills. Lows, I walked through high school hallways dressed like the Iron Chef and encouraged students to, quote, live their dreams by enrolling in a for-profit college that was insanely expensive. I also really liked how you were an HVAC recruiter.
One only lasted a week.
A week, okay. Highs, the Whole Foods was across the street. Lows, literally everything else. You've had a lot of recruiting jobs, and you found a job on Craigslist selling restaurant coupons.
Actual coupon books.
Also, You set your own schedule. Lowe's, I sold actual physical coupons door to door. Listen, I have had a couple of door to door jobs. That is rough going. That's some rough, those is rough terrain. Rough seas ahead.
Yeah, they really are. They build character.
Were you successful in that endeavor?
No. No, I really wasn't. I'm not great in sales, believe it or not.
How are you at recruiting? Because you've done that for a while as well.
Not good. Not good. I was not good at any of these jobs. I either quit them, I was laid off, or I was just fired sometimes.
I mean, hey, It happens to the best of us that we're fired from something we're actually really terrible at.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, but why? They're like, because you're not selling. Oh, okay.
Weird. Weird. Yes. The part about the cave women giving birth, I was like, these are all actual legitimate questions. How did you do that? Because even with highly educated professionals, a lot of people still have trouble. I loved your acceptance speech for winning an award for earliest epidural given. That I thought that was hilarious.
A prestigious award.
It is. So few of us are able to bestow that award upon ourselves.
I'll go ahead and explain. I was 0.00 centimeters dilated. And I said, yes, I will take that epidural. Thank you. And I do not regret it.
Most people would not be able to talk people into giving it to them. Most people would be like, you have to wait until you're 4 or in active labor in order to get this epidural.
I had a wonderful nurse who she's like, you can have that whenever you want it. And I was like, I want it now.
Now, please.
Now.
Mm-hmm. And you won an award for it. So it ended up working out.
Mm-hmm. It did.
What do you hope somebody feels when they finish reading this and they close the book? What do you hope they take away from it?
My goal in writing this is I want people to feel seen. I want them, for a lot of different reasons, obviously, like with their love for their pet, I want them to put it down and maybe think about memories of when they had a pet they loved, or think about early motherhood, what that was like for them. I want them to put it down and, like, this sounds cheesy, but smile and maybe continue thinking about other things and how it relates to them. Like how this book is the story of Birdie and Harlow, but how that transfers into everyone else's story. You know, the relatable topics in there. Also, I want it to make people feel less weird about maybe some of the things they have going on in their own mind. Something I touch on in there is my anxiety for different things, my intrusive thoughts in motherhood. As soon as I learned those had a name, they made me feel so much less alone. So I'm hoping if there's another mom out there who reads this, they're like, okay, so it's not just me having these terrible worries and someone feeling, like I said, it just goes back to feeling more seen, less weird, because we're all weird and we all have, you know, the things we go through. So I think I've heard people are worried it's a super sad book, and I don't think
it is. It's not. It's not a super sad book. It's funny and heartwarming. That's how I would describe it. But also, the sad parts are what make it heartwarming. That's the kind of the definition of heartwarming, is that there has to be like a, oh, in order to feel like it's a heartwarming story, right? If it's, I bought a sweater on sale at the mall, there's no sadness there. There's no counterpoint to the happy ending. So you need those sort of like, oh, moments to feel the heartwarming story. So no, I did not put it down and feel like, oh, wow, devastating. What a devastating book. No, it made me laugh. It made me smile. And I think you were successful. It makes you feel less alone in your weirdness, because everyone is secretly weird. Whether they wear a wig on the internet, everyone is secretly weird.
And it's just better if you embrace your weird and don't keep it in. You know, put it out there.
I totally agree. Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here today. I loved seeing you again. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you for having me. And you haven't let me tell you congratulations on the millions of things, on your upcoming book, on the grants that you just finished. Like, that's incredible.
Oh, thank you. Taylor Wolf's book, Birdie and Harlow, is out on September 19th. So you can pre-order a copy today, or go ahead and pick it up at your bookstore or at bookshop.org. I'll see you soon. The show is hosted and executive produced by me, Sharon McMahon. Our audio producer is Jenny Snyder. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you could leave us a review or share this episode on social media, those things help podcasters out so much. Thanks for being here today.